And then, if you've really been abducted, you'll begin to remember yourself. You don't need anybody to tell you. And you will begin, and you will gradually remember the whole thing.
Another episode of Alien Strand Podcast. I'm your host, Donald Ledesma, and I'd just like to thank everybody for listening to Alien Strand. We're going strong and stronger every day, so people from all the way around the world as well listening on all your podcast platforms. I'm on all the major ones, and I would like to announce that we now have alienstrand.com. Go check that out when you have a chance. A little bit of information on the past and things that are happening now in the UFO community. So check out the pictures there. It's being updated every day. So we're going to get on that pretty much every day and every week. So just check that out and see and enjoy alienstrand.com. As well, if you have any information on UFOs, you can upload your pictures to that. You can send an email. It could be privately. There's even a telephone number on there. So the number is going to be 361-245-8000. Again, that's 361-245-8000. You got a story to share? Give me a call. I'll be glad to talk to you about it, and we'll get you on the show. So today, we're going to be talking about an episode which was an actual alien abduction, which was the very first one that was recorded in 1961. And it happened to a couple. Their names were Betty and Barney Hill. And they lived up there in the New Hampshire area. So they decided to go up to Canada, I guess, for the day or the weekend, and spend the weekend up there. So this happened when they were on their way back home. So we're going to get into the story. So this happened on September 19, 1961. And they were driving south from Canada. They had just gotten into New Hampshire and around that area, and they were heading home that night. So when they were driving, they noticed that there was like a light illuminating from their the back window of their car. And at first Betty said that she didn't think anything of it. She thought it was like a star or maybe a planet, you know, because you could see the stars very clearly out there because they lived out in the wooded area. So she didn't think anything of it. So they kept on driving down the road. As they were driving, they noticed that the light became more intense, so that grabbed their attention a little bit more. So when that happened, Barney, it just kind of disturbed him just for that second, and he said, you know what, let's just go ahead and pull over. So let's see what this is. So they pulled over, kind of, you know, they stuck their heads out the window, and they just wanted to see if it was like an airplane or something, a star or a planet. So they noticed that this object was just kind of shimmering there, and then it started kind of zigzagging back and forth, moving kind of sporadically up and down, side to side. So they got a little frightened at that time, and Barney decided to get back in the vehicle. He said, come on, let's just go. So they ended up driving down the road, and this was about 10:30 at night. So they're driving down the road, and then they noticed, because they were going about maybe 20 to 30 miles down the road, and they noticed that this object was following them. And they just said it just kept on following them most of the way. So they didn't know, you know, what it was or what was going on. You got to remember, this is 1961. They said they knew about UFOs, but they didn't really think anything of it. They just kind of saw from pictures and things like that. So anyway, they decided to go down the road a bit ways, and then they said that they finally they got out, and it was they stopped by the side of the road again, and this place was called Indian Head area. So they got out, they took a look at it again, and Betty noticed that it was a UFO. So she was trying to get this UFO's attention. She was yelling at them, saying, "Come here, we're here," and because she was excited, you know, like, "Come and land here." And she said at that point that the craft was hovering about 50 feet above them, and they could see it plain as day. You know, at that moment, Barney decided to get his binoculars. So he wanted to see, you know, he wanted to see this ship more clearly. So when he got the binoculars out, he focused on the UFO. This was a disc-shaped UFO, and it had like points on both ends. It wasn't like our typical UFO that we see now these days, but this one had like sharp points at the very ends of this craft. So he said he focused his binoculars on the mid part of this alien ship and noticed that there was like a bubbled window that he was looking inside, and he said that he could see men standing in there, you know, figures of men that he thought. So he told Betty, hey, there's men in there. And so at this point, when he saw that, he got scared and said, you know what, we need to go, because he was afraid they were going to be captured. So they got in the car and they sped off. So they said they went about maybe 15, 20 miles down the road, you know, because Barney was afraid. He just wanted to avoid capture. You know, they didn't know anything about these things. But they said when they took off the second time, that the ship was like right behind them, and it was, they heard something bumping on the trunk of the car while they were driving, like little beeping, banging noises. They didn't know what that was. So, so they ended up going like another 15, 20 miles down the road. And finally, Barney decided to make a turn down this road, which is Route 3. They're in close to New Hampshire. So when he made the turn, he made an immediate stop. And they noticed that there was a group of these aliens standing in the middle of the road. So they were already waiting for them. And they stopped, and they were like... they were just surprised to see what they were seeing. They couldn't focus on what these aliens looked like just yet. So then Betty says that the group of aliens split up into two groups. I guess there was more than five. And one group came on Betty's side, and one group came on Barney's side of the car. And they opened the door and got them out. They didn't force them. They just kind of stepped out. And then they walked them into the woods. So they said when they were walking towards the woods, that they could see a ship that had landed there. And it had like a platform down for them, like a ramp. So Betty and Barney were under like a trance sort of like state, she said. She said that Barney was in, it was in total control of them. And so was she, but she was able to break free from that total control, because when she was getting walking up into the ship with Barney, she turned around and she punched one of the aliens in the face. So, yeah, kind of funny, right? So when she did that, she says, "What are you doing? Where are you taking us? What are you doing with us?" And she said that this alien spoke to them. Not telepathically. I don't know if you saw you heard my podcast on Billy Meyer. Well, they spoke to him telepathically. Most abductees say that they get spoken to telepathically. But these aliens, she said they spoke English. But it was like a broken English. She said like they were from another country, but we could understand each other. And they told her, "We just want to examine the human species." We just want to examine you. That's all. We're not going to hurt you. And then she agreed. Barney was still in a transive state. So she said they walked him up into the ship. And there was like a corridor, a small corridor, where Barney went to the right to one room. And she went to the left to another room. So she said that they sat her down. And when they sat her down, they just started checking her feet, her knees, her arms, you know, her legs. And they were just examining her just to make sure that, I don't know, what kind of human species, or they were just kind of intrigued by us. So then she said that they laid her down on a table, right? So when they did that, they started checking her around the abdominal area. She said they were checking my bone structure, my nerves, my backbones, just to, you know, they were just examining us, or me. She goes, I didn't know what they were doing to Barney, but later on they find out that they're doing the same things to him. So she said that they ended up getting like a needle, and they tried to insert this needle in her navel. And she said, you know, she was in a lot of pain. So they ended up, you know, stopping, and because she was in a lot of discomfort. So they were nice enough to not do that to her. So so she sat up, and at the same time, they were examining Barney. They were checking his arms, his back, his bone structure, his muscle, his design. They wanted just to see what the male human species was made of. So she said that they were very intrigued by Barney's bone structure, I guess because he's a man and he was much larger than the aliens were. So, let me describe the aliens to you. So these aliens were not very tall. They were slender. She said they were almost human-like. They had large eyes, but not like the typical gray. They were just a little bit larger than a human's. She said they had a small nose and a small mouth, and they were all bald. They had no hair. So they had like a pale kind of skin to them as well. So she said that while they were examining Barney, that they were just so intrigued by his muscles and his mass and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden she turned to the leader, and she asked him, so where are you from? And he turned around and looked at her and pointed at a map. It was like a star map, she says. So she saw this, and they looked at her, and she, like, they were like, she's supposed to know where this was at. She didn't know anything about space. She didn't know anything about the stars. She didn't know anything about constellations. So she had like a blank look in her face, and she said that they caught it kind of like funny, because she didn't know. And at the same moment, the examiner, she calls him, came running back into the room where she was at, and ended up kind of like grabbing her teeth and while she was talking, and he was tugging at him, and she stepped back, and she goes, what are you doing? And she goes, why is it that Barney's teeth come out and yours don't? She said, because Barney has false teeth. Apparently he had lost his teeth in World War II, that he was standing too close to a hand grenade, and he had his teeth blown out. So they were kind of, you know, she said that she caught it as a funny moment for them, because they didn't know what was going on, why his teeth came out and hers didn't. So at this point, you know, they had already finished with their examination, and they just pretty much decided to walk them back out of the ship and into their vehicles. So they ended up leaving, right? And ended up getting home. She said they got home about 5 o'clock in the morning. And when they got home, they had lost track of time, at least 2 hours. They thought that the trip was a little long. So in other words, while they were abducted that the they had the aliens had you know, manipulated their minds, and you know, had total control over them, and they didn't know what was going on. They kind of blanked their brains out, you know, kind of blanked them out, so their thoughts actually, so they wouldn't know what was going on. The only reason that I'm telling you this right now, and it's because, if you heard it in the very beginning of this podcast, that Betty started remembering little by little, day by day. She started having dreams about what they had experienced. And Barney was going through the same things, but his was more like a more of a traumatic state. She said that next day when they woke up, she noticed that her dress was torn. Barney's binoculars, where the strap was broken. And when they walked to the back of the car, that they noticed that there was these spots in the back of the car where they were, that it was making like a different, like when the paint kind of peels off a little bit. So they didn't know what it was or what had happened that night, because they lost track of time. Actually, their watches had stopped as well. So they were lost. They didn't know what happened. So after about 5 days, she says, that she started remembering all these things that were happening through dreams, that she decided to tell her sister. Her sister was a big old UFO enthusiast. She knew about UFOs. So she told her, maybe you were kidnapped by a UFO. And so Betty got real worried about it. And so she decided to call the government. And the reason she called the government is because she was afraid that she had gotten some kind of radiation poisoning between her and Barney for being as close to that ship as they were. And when she called the government, she says right after that the White House ended up getting in touch with her. NASA got in touch with her. The Security Council got in touch with her. They were just wanted to know what had happened to them. You got to remember, this is 1961. Our technology is really not really there yet on what's going on. So I think the government did this and spoke to them, examined them, because, you know, they just wanted to know for security reasons. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, she said there was no men in black. They didn't get their lives threatened, nothing like that. If you watch her interviews, she's very pleasant to listen to, very giddy kind of person. She laughs a lot. She's very enjoyable to listen to. So anyway, she's telling us that, of course, everybody stepped in to try to figure out what happened to them. At the same time, they get a gentleman to help her with regression therapy. And this gentleman's name was Dr. Benjamin Simon. And this man was one person that was that the government used to help vets and people that suffered traumatic stress disorder. And he helped a lot of people. So they got him to help her and help Betty and Barney. So they end up doing regression therapy. And through regression therapy, she ends up drawing the star map that she saw when the leader showed them the star map. So she drew this. So she ended up meeting with them in 1965 with Dr. Benjamin Simon. So from 1965 and on, they just kept on doing medical tests on Barney and Betty and trying to figure out, you know, what they experienced, you know, if they got any radiation poisoning, anything like that. So apparently they didn't. So in 1969, the same doctor, he ended up researching that star map, right? And he found out that it is a constellation from the constellation Reticuli, right? So, and then she told her, he told her, hey, this is where this star map is from. And the star that you drew, it's called Star Zeta Reticuli. And she said that a lot of the scientists, that once she told them what star system it was from, that they were kind of researching it at the same time. And they said, you know what, we believe that there is life or planets in that constellation. So she's a true believer of it. So were the scientists at the time. So she got a lot of information out of that star map. And if you want to see it, you can go to, you know, off of Google, just kind of Google their names for her star map, and you'll see what she drew. She drew freehand. So, you know, she was under hypnosis when she did it. And they did medical hypnosis, not the other kind. During medical hypnosis, you're like in a hospital kind of setting to get these memories out. And that's how they found out exactly what happened to them. So, and you know, of course, this was recorded to be the very first alien abduction. And I'm glad they did that. And I'm glad Betty did that, because now these days, that's the last people you want to call. So, like I said, you know, after everything that they went through, they even did tests on the trunk of the car. They got a compass, put it on the back of the trunk of the car, and noticed that it was just spinning around and around and around. So whatever impression it left on the trunk of their car, it left it there. Whoever these beings were, you know, they weren't there to harm them or anything like that. They just kind of wanted to examine them. And she said that after the years, maybe a couple of years after this incident, that they would go back to that area to see, you know, just to try to remember. And they just couldn't remember for a while there until they started getting regression therapy. So I'm glad they did that. You know, it's kind of crazy if you really think about it, you know, what they went through. And she said that it was, to her, it was a pleasant experience. She said to Barney, it was more of, he didn't accept it very well. So, unfortunately, Barney ended up getting sick, and later on in the years, and he passed away in 1969, which left Betty with everything that was happening. So, but in 1965, right before he passed, a few years before he passed away, their story was published in a newspaper, and it was posted everywhere, and they became like celebrities at the time. She said there were people from all over the world wanting to talk to us about what had happened. So they even made movies about them in the 1970s, even 80s. So every once in a while, if you watch Ancient Aliens or whichever shows you like to watch, you'll see this story pop up of Betty and Barney Hill. So take a look at that and see what you think about it. Betty continued on keeping her eyes in the skies. She ended up seeing, she said, over 1,000 UFOs. She photographed hundreds of them. She's got one in her home. It's a huge, huge photo of a UFO that she photographed in West New Hampshire. She won't give away where it was, but she's got a nice photo of one that was landed on the ground. So she does have that evidence as well. She says she has a 35 millimeter footage that she shot of a mothership, huge mothership. She says of 6 other alien crafts coming out of it and going back into it. So she has that at will. And I'm glad that she was able to keep on telling the story, what they went through, even though it wasn't traumatic. Like on my podcast episode number 4, The Communion, that was very traumatic for him. This one was a pleasant experience for her, because she wanted them to come back. She kept on keeping her eyes on the skies, hoping they would come back. She said, she even told them, I hope you come back and I want you to meet my friends. So she said that's how this alien abduction was for her. And I really do hope that you guys watch one of her interviews. She's got a bunch out there. And she's a very pleasant person, very nice person to watch. But on a sad note, unfortunately, she passed away in 2004. So she was able to leave a legacy behind for her and her husband. And I'm glad they did that. And I'm glad that they recorded them as their very first abductees ever. So, and I thought this was very important for us and in the UFO community. That's why I'm telling this story. If you've never heard this story before, look it up. Check it out. It's very interesting. There's a lot more to it than I'm telling you today. So I'm really glad that you guys stuck around for this. I'm glad that you caught my podcast. And like I said, you can visit alienstrand.com. You can visit me on Alien Strand on Facebook, on Tumblr, and on Twitter. And as always, I'm glad that you guys are here today. I really enjoy telling these stories of these abductions and things that happen all the way around the world. So as of today, I want to just want everybody, just keep your eyes in the sky and keep an open mind, because there's other things out there other than us. So if you can, I want you guys to have a good night, a good day, and a good evening.
Channel Alien Adam, that's A-L-I-E-N-A-D-A-M, all one word with no spaces. We'll see you there.